Marie and the Doctor.
Who knows what may come next?
Having trouble with your thingamajig? Can't get the doovy watsy to interface with the clickety bit? Given up all hope of the digital wing-wong working? Yeah, well, we hear your pain, Australia. So now, please welcome the only man in the world who can simultaneously program the set-top hoozit, reformat the doovalacky, and upload the whatchamacallit in three different languages. It's Paul Verhoeven in Nerds of a Feather.
He's a nerd, he loves never-ending story and slash fiction, and he's here with you today. Paul Verhoeven, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, erotic Marieke?
I'm very well, thanks.
Good. How are you guys doing? Everyone good, Marieke?
Am I allowed to make requests on eroticmarieke.com? Can I just make requests of people? Alex Kapranos looks like he might need to be put into a story.
What about Hamish Blake?
Hamish Blake. That's weird. That's a real shame. He's engaged, right?
Is he? Yeah. Well, we heard yesterday he was engaged.
Yeah, that's what
remember? Marieke... You remember that? I mean, Marieke came in. She was definitive. Hamish Blake is engaged, apparently. And
yes.
Then somebody tuned into their show and found out...
Hamish and Andy.
He woke this morning and around about sort of 8:30, I was bombarded with text messages from people saying, congratulations, well done. My girlfriend texted me and said, hey, I've just heard that on Triple J breakfast, we're getting married, that you and I are engaged.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you very much. That was the first I'd heard of it.
Well, it's the Cyrano de Bergerac thing, isn't it? I'm really helping him along. I'm giving him the words to ask Anna. You know, I'm just sort of putting it out there. And making it happen.
So I was going to say, you know, there are other alternatives to Hamish Blake. There's James McAvoy, you know, the Scottish dude from Wanted, who looks a lot like Hamish Blake. And also he can curve bullets around walls. Can you imagine what he can do in your pants?
Wow.
Yeah. I can, yes, Paul,
well,
I can.
The heat's just been taken off me and my room is spreading.
No, the heat's sort of been spread around quite equally around the room.
There we go.
Thank you, Paul.
I have a bit of a cautionary tale about the repercussions of hacking. Now, as you guys know, several weeks ago I left my Facebook and Twitter accounts open.
Yes.
Which sounds silly, but actually, Jesus did that when he visited Ultima that one time. Yes, I just compared myself to Jesus. Anyway, the following week, Marieke did the same thing to me that you did, Lindsay, only about 80 times harder. So I took a buttload of bad Harry Potter slash fiction, replaced her with Hermione, started up eroticmarieke.com, which, by the way, has got almost 1,000 hits in the
Yay!
Past week.
Let's try and make it 2,000 by next time, eroticmarieke.com.
There are a lot of lonely teenage boys out there.
And it'd have more if anyone could spell Marieke.
You know what's weird? About half of the comments are like, this is hilarious, and half are like, do you have any more?
Yeah, and does the ones that have any more, does the email address end in, you know, like Fox FM or Today FM?
Wow, you took so long to get there. You got there, and I applaud you, because what you were saying was that it was Hamish and good for you.
I want part two of Lindsay Goes to Hogwarts.
So do I.
I want to find out what you do with your wand. Anyway, I started getting used to being hacked, and I tend to get a bit delirious and abstract when presenting the mid-dorm. And so, long story short, yesterday morning, I kind of got this weird Stockholm syndrome and hacked my own account because you guys weren't doing it. So I kind of did it on my own behalf, and I started tweeting as Lindsay.
But from your account?
From my account, going, oh, you know, have you heard? Lindsay's got a huge penis, which you dude, I know.
Is that why you were saying that he had a huge penis?
Because I missed the affection.
Gosh, you're a complicated human being, aren't you?
I'm not. I'm very simple. I'm driven purely by like Pez and computer games. I really don't have many motivations. Now, have you guys ever had trouble getting work done? Like sitting down and just getting work done and actually achieving something?
I think this show is testament to that fact for Hoves.
Oh, good. All right. Well, I used to have trouble sitting down and trying to accomplish, like, biology homework. And I'd sit there and I'd just start drawing, like, you know, alien penis landscapes in the margins of the textbook. And, you know, just do anything but work. Anything. Go to the kitchen and make, you know, sandwiches, which is three slices of bread. But let's say you have 30 minutes to actually sit down and study and accomplish something, and you can't afford to get up, and there's no way to enforce that upon yourself, but there is. There's an invention that got forwarded to me yesterday called the study ball. Now, you know in those old school prison films where you see some dude with like a ball and a chain and think, man, he isn't going anywhere, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Try and apply that principle to study. What if you actually had like a manacle around your ankle with a timer on it and a 20-pound like weight, basically, and you set it to, say, 30 minutes, and you cannot leave. You cannot unlock this thing from yourself, even for a pee break, until your time is up, which basically means if you're a criminal on the run, the best place to hide from now on is probably going to be a library. Probably.
This is brilliant. This is like Guantanamo Bay meets high school.
Guantanamo Bay, the musical. So I think Zac Efron has got a real chance there.
Who are they? That's like a Harold and Kumar film, don't they? Escape from Guantanamo Bay?
Do
is that
they
their
escape?
Names?
I haven't seen it. I don't know. Don't ruin the ending. If you guys are gaming, do you guys game at all, like ever?
No.
Even ironically?
Just a bit.
I play Scrabble.
I watched Robbie play a car stealing game once.
Was that a game, Lindsay, or was that just you guys drinking and stealing cars?
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Now, when you're gaming and you're gaming for an extended period, there's usually nothing you'd rather do than just sit there. You don't want to leave the computer. I had this terrible moment last week, and this is true. I refused to go to the bathroom for 4 hours whilst I was playing my problem, my favourite game.
Grand Theft Liver.
It sounds... My skin started to turn yellow. It was the weirdest thing. That sounds reasonable to most nerds because, you know, my friends were like, well, were you in a dungeon? Were you committed to some long-term thing at the time? No, I was fishing the sewers of a fictional city hoping to catch an imaginary rat.
Wow.
Like, yeah, because in World of Warcraft, there's a profession called, you know, fishing. You can sit there and fish, and there's this rare chance that if you keep fishing and fishing and fishing, you might actually catch this magical rat. I caught the rat, but in the meantime, I almost, you know, my bladder almost ruptured. And there's this new technology that might cater towards people with issues like mine. It's called the Wow Pod.
Is it a catheter?
Imagine the catheter, but it's kind of like those two things combined, but it's bigger and you sit in it. This group at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology have come up with the Wow Pod, and they've called it, and this is in their words, an immersive architectural solution for the advanced Wow player that provides and anticipates all of life's needs, which actually makes it sound more like a womb, right? But the thing is, it looks like a big wood and leather teepee. And it's got food, it's got a sink, and the seat you're sitting on is actually a toilet. Now, you haven't
lived. So you get to sit on a toilet and eat food at the same time.
You can essentially fly a griffin with one hand and wipe your ass with the other. That's living.
That is.
There's no better end point, really, than that.
Paul Verhoeven, we're going to keep you around for a little while. Come and join us after 8 for part 2.
Absolutely.
Go to the bathroom.
Go to the bathroom.
No, go to the bathroom.
Having trouble with your thingamajig? Can't get the doovy watsy to interface with the clickety bit? Given up all hope of the digital wingwong working? Yeah, well, we hear your pain, Australia. So now please welcome the only man in the world who can simultaneously program the set-top who's it, reformat the doovalacky, and upload the whatchamacallit in 3 different languages. It's Paul Verhoeven in Nerds of a Feather.
Yes, he's joining us again today to share all his nerdly news. What have you got for us, Verhoeven?
You got a fear.
I do. Well, first of all, Marieke, are you nominated for Sexiest Vegetarian, really?
Yeah. It would appear so.
That's weird, because I saw you eating leather biscuits in front of school children. No? That wasn't you?
No, that was a fruit strap.
Oh, right. Sure it was.
Leather biscuits.
Yeah.
Yum.
You have a complicated brain.
Thank you very much. I do have a bit of a complex. I'm afraid of animals dressed as humans. And one of the best things about the internet is the sheer amount of bizarre crap that somehow like survives and lives and marinates on there. And while radio doesn't really convey video very well, there's a couple of videos I want you guys to check out. There was a musical made in the 30s called Dogway Melody, which was essentially they get these dogs, dress them up as humans, rig them up by wires, and make them dance around and overdub them.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Now, it sounds horrific and a bit like a Cronenberg film, but the kind of pinnacle of this movie was when this chorus line of dogs performed Singing in the Rain, right? But the backup singers for Singing in the Rain, of course, were like,
how
basically...
How did they hold the little umbrellas?
Well, they sewed these 3 dogs into this giant raincoat, propped them up with wires, had like fake puppet hands and put them in makeup and made them dance around. Now, that's scary, but if it's any consolation, all those dogs are long dead by now. Kidding. Secondly, Danger Mouse. Do you guys remember Danger Mouse? The little dude with the eye patch. Mm-hmm. He's the only crime fighter you can fit in your mouth, incidentally. What?
What about Adam Ant? I mean, Atom Ant.
Adam Ant, you couldn't fit in your mouth. You need extensive surgery for that, Robbie.
Uh-oh.
Well, he is new romantic.
Sorry. Weird. It just sounds right. I'm actually referring to the DJ producer who forms one half of Gnarls Barkley. Now, did you guys hear this recently? He and EMI had this weird tiff, and he's basically said that he's going to release the CD in the packaging, but because they screwed him around, they're going to put like a blank recordable CDR into the CD, and then they're going to release the recording for free so you can actually like pirate it yourself. which is amazing. All this liner notes, and like David Lynch did all this photography for the for the pamphlet and stuff. The only way he can impress me more is if he like lived in a post box and you know fought crime
and had a mate called named Penfold.
Yeah, Penfold, the who looks a bit like the other guy from Niles Barkley. Weird. This is like a Dan Brown novel, only I'm not hemorrhaging blood.
Yes. Now, Dan Brown novels don't contain Star Trek news, though.
They don't, no. Basically, have you guys seen Star Trek yet? I know, Robbie, you saw it, right?
No, I got it. No, we got an invite and we were out of town.
Yeah.
Guys!
Yeah. I plan to go and see it on one of those big sort of 3D-style screens.
Do you really? Or are you just providing excuses so I don't run over there and...
No, I do.
Really good. All right. Well, but basically, one of the things about Star Trek is when you're sitting in a cinema and a ship warps ahead, there's inevitably a few people that are going to sit there and go, "That would never happen." Well, it turns out it probably will happen. There was a fairly... I hope. Shut up. Don't laugh. There was a fairly complex experiment in Geneva, Switzerland, where they have these... Basically, they take photons of light and they activate them close to each other, and the photons correspond and start rotating in the same direction. And they thought, okay, well, that's because they're in close proximity, right? Mm. Then what they did last week is they put them 7 miles apart and stimulated one, and the other one instantly started to rotate at the same time.
It's a stimulus package.
It is. What?
Nothing.
Just, yeah, here's some light. Basically, there's no way for them to communicate with each other in, like, a classical sense, but there's this idea that there's this mysterious long-range connection which, in theory, can instantaneously create a link between one point in the universe and another. Wow. It's the same force that had, like, Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan staring at the sky and, like, talking to themselves in Sleepers in Seattle, but it also means a ship could probably warp from one point to another. It also means you could manipulate one thing whilst being in another place. Like, I could make Lindsay right now say, like, if I wanted him to, say, "Paul, you will have your own talk show one day and I want to marry you."
Paul, yeah, that's as far as you got. It started to work, but then it wore off.
I'm working on it. I almost burst the
blood. This is sounding a little bit like quantum mechanics. Mm.
It is a little bit, but I don't know anything about quantum mechanics. Mm. So, I mean, it could just be magic, I guess.
Well said. Paul Verhoeven, we'll catch you next Tuesday morning, sir.
See you guys.
Thanks very much,
mate. And if
you go
to thesomewhatambitious.com, you'll see the scariest TV commercial from yesteryear that I've ever seen. Thank you very much, Paul, for that. On Triple J.